This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time to be taken on a journey on the DJ Mac Travel Show, only on Plains FM.
Welcome to the show. I'm Douglas Mack, and this is the DJ Mack Travel Show on Plains FM 96.9. The last weekend in July, a group and I travelled to the Gold Coast to the Groundwater Country Music Festival. This event is now held at the last weekend in July and was previously dated in July, but it's now basically set down for the last weekend of July. It starts on the Friday, normally around 10 a.m, and it's in the main mall shopping area of the around the Broadbeach area of the Gold Coast. And it finishes on the Sunday afternoon. And it's basically 3 days of country music festival. So, and it's over eight venues in the Broadbeach sort of shopping precinct area of the Gold Coast. So we, the group travelled with Air New Zealand from Christchurch. We departed at approximately 7 o'clock, and we got to the Gold Coast around about, I think it was somewhere around about 9-10 o'clock sort of time. And that was arriving at Gold Coast Airport at Coolangatta. So really nice small airport. Basically, not a lot of transfers are happening there. So you basically, once you arrive, you've terminated your flight and you're on holiday. So has a more of a holiday feel to it. And a lot of the flights are not transferring. So you're not like at Brisbane or Sydney where you're going on to another location. So has a real nice destinational sort of on holiday sort of a feel. From there, we transferred to the Seacrest apartment, which is on Surfers Paradise, so the northern side of Surfers Paradise. So that's up closer by Narrow Neck, I think it is, and north of the town centre. And we had a group of 10 of us. So we were in, we hired a van. So by the time we sort of got out of the airport, it was around about an hour had travelled from that point. So, the cost of the transfer was $140, and that got us to the Seacrest Hotel north of Surfers Paradise, just of the town centre. Accommodation, as I said, was the Seacrest apartments. It's a older style apartment complex, a little bit dated. So we had two apartments. One was a bit more modern than the other one. One had sea views, and the other one had sea views and river and canal views. So they were both really, really nice. And the other one obviously looked right out onto the beach. So you'd be standing there doing your dishes from breakfast, and you're looking right out over the Tasman Sea and the beach. And it was a really good place to be. So this is somewhat my personal preference when staying in apartments. I don't like to be too high. I don't like the idea of looking down on the trees, and I sort of like to be at tree level. So we had level 4, which was the apartment that was sort of off to the south side, right-hand side of the building and such, and it had sea views and also canal and river views. And then on level 6, we had another one, which was looks straight out onto the beach, and there were Norfolk pines in front of the building as well. So it was had a nice atmosphere, all tiled. The apartment had big windows that looked out all over the place, and it was open and airy, I guess would be the right word for it. And like I said, the building was 15 stories high, so we weren't as high as 15 stories. So it was good, and it was good value for money. So there is a range of all types of budgets in Surfers Paradise. If you want high-end and very high, then there's that for you as well. If you want lower budget, like backpacking, that's available too. It really depends on what your budget is and how much money you want to spend and how long you're going to be there for. Right, so because we're in an apartment-type setup, we basically got the group to unpack and get themselves ready and relax in the room in the afternoon. And what I did was I walked down to the local Coles supermarket. There was also a Woolworths not far away as well. So I got ourselves our breakfasts and snacks basically sorted. And like I said, Coles and Woolworths are relatively fairly similar to what we get here in New Zealand. And also Coles and Woolworths in Australia, I feel are quite similar to each other as well. Not like we've got like Pack and Save and Countdown are so different. So, a lot of the brands are the same. And there are different other types of products. So like some of the Cadbury chocolate bars and stuff they have are relatively different. And even they have different types of Cadbury's biscuits. The other one is that Tim Tams, the Arnott's Tim Tams, there seems to be a bigger and more bargains of that type of biscuit in Australia. They seem to be quite popular. So basically we travelled on Wednesday. So in the afternoon we sort of had a bit of a free day. So it was sort of an afternoon walk along the beach, and we had a great lunch basically at a place called the GMC Diner, which is based at the Shore Holiday Apartments, which is on the waterfront. So it was just around the corner from where we were staying. And that was really nice. It was fairly, after travelling, being up so early in the morning, you just wanted something a little bit, you know, you wouldn't get too carried away with spending money straight away, and it was just easy. So then we from there we went along the beach, and we also had a bit of a swim. The temperature by the afternoon was about 25 degrees, so that was quite pleasant. You can sort of tell the locals are the ones running around with jackets and jerseys on and saying it's cold, and us New Zealanders or people that have travelled from a bit colder environments, it was 3 degrees when we left Christchurch, so we arrived at 25, so that was pretty good. But yeah, we were the ones running around in t-shirts and shorts and jandals and stuff. So the and also in the afternoon, the Seacrest has two pools. One was an indoor pool. They also have an outdoor pool, and they have a spa and some steam room as well. So the key thing there is don't go into the indoor pool and get overheated and then try and go for a swim in the pool outside. It didn't work very well. The breeze was a little bit colder by the afternoon, so and being wet, get a bit chilly, but it was good. Dinner, we went to the RSL. So again, relatively relaxed day for our first day in the on the Gold Coast. So the RSL is fairly similar to the RSA or like the Hornby Club or places like that, Papua Nui Club. So a good range of meals and relatively well bargained, I suppose, well priced. So yeah. Following day, so on Thursday, we travelled down to SeaWorld, which is probably a good 45-minute walk from the Seacrest Hotel or apartment block where we were, or it's a 10-minute drive. And we had the whole day there enjoying the park and having lunch. So we had lunch. We arrived there around about 10 o'clock, had a look around, worked out what we wanted to see and do, and then we had lunch. And while lunch was on, there was a jet skiing display in the main part of the amusement sort of water site of the park itself. Onto the rides, a lot of the rides at SeaWorld are probably really suited for kids, maybe, you know, from about 3 onwards up to about 13. There's quite a lot of sort of classical sort of amusement rides. They do have a new ride, the newest ride, which is called The Storm, which is based around a hurricane event. So, and you actually do get wet on this one that goes through a waterfall, and there's spray all over the place. And that's probably suited for people probably between maybe 13 and upwards, or maybe a bit younger, maybe 10. And of course, you've got Warner Brothers Movie World and Wet n Wild on the Gold Coast. We didn't actually have time to go there because we were not actually there to do the amusement parks, but we did have a free day on Thursday, so that's why we went to the SeaWorld. The jet ski show was pretty good, and that was a bit of sort of good entertainment while we're having some lunch. Lunch was basically fairly normal, sort of, you know, food court sort of stuff and fish and chips and anything that you sort of wanted to have, from sandwiches to pies to anything really. It was all right. It was good. The main thing that I enjoyed the most was the dolphin show, which came on at 3:30. Even if you just went and watched that would be, it was amazing. It was really good, and it was well and truly worth the wait. We had, there was only one show on during the day. So during the midsummer or peak times, they have more shows during the day, but there was only one at 3:30. So we did that one, and that was well worth the visit. And then after that, we hopped on the monorail, which was a good way to sort of return back to the main entrance. And so once we got to the main entrance, it was we sort of just basically taxied back to the hotel, back to Seacrest. So what did we do about transport when we were in the Gold Coast? So we tried something a little bit different. We've normally hired vehicles before, so we had a group of 10, and so we've normally hired a Hiace or something like that and dealt with car parking and bits and pieces. What we did this time is that we looked at Uber. And so what we did is we had my colleague and I, we both had an Uber account, and we would just book an Uber car. And we were spending around about $10 per vehicle, so which really is quite cheap when you start considering we had 10 people and we're moving 10 people in two cars, and it was costing us $10 per movement. We weren't traveling very far, but it was really good, and it was a good exercise. So if you want to have Uber and just have a bit of fun with it, we never received the same driver twice, and all the drivers were arriving in fairly late model cars. There was an agreement with the local car dealers where they were getting lease vehicles. Well, they were leasing vehicles, and they basically, once they'd done 10,000 k's or had them for 6 months, they were getting new vehicles. So it was quite interesting to talk to people from Uber. So yeah, also outside the Seacrest Hotel, or apartment, I should say apartment, it was there was the Gold Coast Light Railway system, which goes from Helensvale, right, which is in the north, right down to Broadbeach in the south. And you could also purchase an all-day, like a 24-hour pass, and that would mean you could just hop on and hop off, and that was about $10. The important thing with that is to make sure you buy a ticket before you hop on board. The fine was around about $250 or more if you get caught. So it's an important bit of information there. And you can buy your tickets most of the time from the apartment reception. So you could buy them from the Seacrest apartment block as well. Also, if you got on the light railway system to Helensvale, I think it was, you could also transfer to Brisbane via the train network, which would get you all the way into Brisbane. So that was how we sort of got around. Uber was good. We did try the tram, and we did a little bit of walking. So it was pretty good. It was, and it's all flat, and it's, yeah, and the weather was great. So we were there for one event, and that started on Friday, which was the Groundwater Country Music Festival. So the Country Western Music Festival there has, or I shouldn't say Western, the Country Music Festival there has grown over the last year by 70%. And so it's put on by the council, like the Gold Coast Council. And so I'm just going to read a bit from their website. So if you do a Google search for Groundwater Country Music Festival Gold Coast, you'll get information on what was on just been, and there'll be probably information starting up on for 2019. So the groundwater is the focus point of the land where the water flows to bring new life. Our Indigenous ancestors associated much of their culture, identity and spirituality with the groundwater. Our Australian farmers are reliant on the groundwater for their survival, and most of us use our lakes, oceans, rivers as a centre point of our recreation time to camp, play and catch up with each other. So that's basically, that's why it's called groundwater. And also country music is is an increasing popularity in Australia, and I think it's also happening here in New Zealand. It still tells a story, and it's sort of homely and culturally, you know, it's not hip hop or anything like that. You know, it's moving. It's a it tells a story. I think music, it tells a story, and people can relate to that. So that's what we were there for. And so it had a large number of events. So we had, and it was all free. So that's the main thing to, so one of the things I liked about it is that you could, there was a program and it had eight stages. And what also happened is that there was repeats. So what would happen is that if you had a clash of certain bands that you wanted to see, so for example, there was a person called Casey Barnes. So our group wanted to see him. He's actually related to Jimmy Barnes. I think he's a nephew or distant relation of some sort. And there was another band called the Morrisons. And so we wanted to see them as well. And so there was a... They repeated themselves, but they didn't repeat at the same time. So if you did clash, you just happened to just go through the timetable and have a look and see what where you could resit or redo them again. The other side of it as well, so it started at 10 o'clock on Friday the 27th of June, and it went through for the whole day and also Saturday and Sunday. The biggest thing with it was, well, not the biggest thing, but if you, because it was free, if you sat down and you were listening to something that you didn't really like, and you did see people doing this as well, they'd just sort of hop up and move on to the next stage or go to the next event. So you sort of didn't feel obligated to sit there thinking, well, I bought a ticket for this, I'm going to have to watch it. So that was, I think, the... good thing about it. And there was different styles of music. So there was country rock to classical, sort of genuine, old type of country. And it was good. And like I said, you know, you could just pop in and out of certain venues and have a look and see what you wanted to, what sort of tickled your fancy at the time. So overall, the event that we actually travelled for was really, really good. Over 3 days, it was over 50,000 people had travelled through and visited and seen, watched and listened to the music that was on offer. And even though a lot of it, you know, some of those people would have just been passing through the mall or gone shopping for the weekend and stuff. So it was awesome. And it was well worth it. And we will be going back again. And the fact that it's grown by 70% over the number of years it's been on is testament of how good it actually is. So the next thing is that what did we do elsewhere? So we're sort of eating out. So try the surf clubs is the main thing. So after we'd listened to music all day on Saturday, we then crossed over to the Broadbeach Surf Club. And now the surf clubs are the best places to go for on the Gold Coast anyway for eating out, but for seaside viewing and also outside dining and stuff, because they're the only places that are allowed to be on the beach. There are other places along and surface paradise, but there's a road in front of the beach and then the restaurants and stuff. So you still get the same sort of atmosphere, but the surf clubs are really good. And we went there on Saturday night. We also tried another place for lunch, which was called Paradise Pancakes, which is just by Q1 on the Gold Coast Sky Point Observation Deck. So that's the one, at the moment, it is the highest building on the coast, but it is about to be sort of taken over by a building they've just started building, which is going to be 88 stories high. So that's quite very, very high indeed. The pancakes place was set around a balloons, so hot air balloons. So the canopies over your tables, it looked like a hot air balloon and stuff like that. And that goes back to its previous days where it was a restaurant set up by people that owned a hot air balloon tour company on the Gold Coast. So yeah, I had the date pancakes with cream and ice cream, and it's really extravagant. And they had all sorts of sort of like diner type food, but their main thing was pancakes. And of course, there's heaps of other restaurants. There's the Hard Rock Cafe. We tried that one as well. And of course, there's all array of different cultures of types of food. Now, we did try another one activity. We did the aqueduct, which is a amphibious vehicle. So it's road, river, and it's a bit of four-wheel driving. I thought this was okay. It was a bit gimmicky. And, yep, once you've done it, you probably won't do it again. It's sort of a bit like that. So it went down the main street along the beachfront, and then when you got out towards the river area, you went into the sea river, and you travelled around the canals a little bit, and then you came back out at SeaWorld, and then travelled back down the main esplanade, back down to main town of Surfers. That was all great. It was okay. We also tried a lunchtime river cruise, which was fairly similar to the aqueduct, but I thought this was a little bit better value for money. Of course, there is lots of things to try and lots of things to do. We could go on about a lot of the activities, from the adventure parks to also other sort of things like the Q1 observation deck and other activities that are on, such as mini parts and Ripley's Believe It or Not and all sorts of stuff. So basically we did the country and music from Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and we had a free day on Monday. And what we did here was we sort of spent a bit of time in the morning back in the pool at Seacrest and also down on the beach. And then we'd priced up the price. This is quite an interesting. So we've got an interesting tip here. So it was $140 to transfer us from the Seacrest back to Coolangatta Airport or Gold Coast Airport. We also priced up for a 24-hour hire. It was going to cost us $135 plus fuel to hire a van from Monday afternoon to drop off on Tuesday afternoon. So this is what we did. So in the sort of midday, 11 o'clock, I sort of got my way out to the airport, and we hired a minivan, which was able to take 10 of us. And on the Monday afternoon, we sort of got out of the Gold Coast City Surfers Paradise, and we went on a bit of a Oz-style tiki tour, and we went inland from there. So that was on our final day. And we seen a bit of a bushfire. There was a bit of a, I'm not sure if it was actually meant to be a burn-off, but it didn't look very, very good. So we seen a bit of a bushfire, and we seen a bit of local stuff and a bit of countryside. And we also ended up in New South Wales, which is just on the border there. We also took a drive down to what's called Point Danger. So this is on the border between New South Wales and the Queensland. And Point Danger is a war memorial for World War II. So there's also a Coast Guard lookout there. And there's a lot of plaques on the fences as you walk around the cliff that have talking about ships that are off the coast or around the Australian coast that were sunk by the Japanese during World War II. There's also, this is a good spot for watching whales. We didn't see whales jumping out of the water or breaching as such, and we didn't see any tails, but we did see a lot of blowhole squirts of water coming up out of the water, and there were boats. You could see the boats chasing whales, so you sort of had an idea where to look. And as I said, there was a Coast Guard monitoring station there, which looks up the coast. So you could look south and to the north. And when you look to the north, you could see Surfers Paradise and the skyline and the beach sort of curving round into a big half moon type shape. From there, we went down to Coolangatta Beach, and we brought ourselves some lunch, and we had a picnic lunch there. And then we returned in the afternoon, sort of did the bit of more of a tiki tour around, and then we headed back to the Seacrest Hotel or apartments and stayed the night and enjoyed our last night there. In the morning, again, got ourselves already packed up. We did a little bit of another scenic tour on the way out to the airport, and we dropped the van off. Now, the main thing with any sort of anywhere around the world, really, if you're going to hire motor vehicles, hire them from companies that it looks like they're not 100% on the airport. They will always be cheaper because they're not paying for the lease on a rental, like a lease site or car parking and office space within the airport. It depends on what you like. The only downfall to some of that is that once you get to the airport, you've got to then shuttle to a rental car place, which will be off-site somewhere, so you just lose a little bit of time. So you pay more to have a better priority service if the rental car company is at the airport. But if it's not, then you've got to wait for a shuttle. And sometimes, you know, Murphy's Law is you've arrived and the shuttle's just left, and so you've got to ring, and the next shuttle is going to be 15 or 20 minutes away. And then basically once you get picked up and then driven to the rental car site, then that can, you know, delay your time. But so, yeah, it was all good. I dropped the vehicle off, and then we flew home. So we were back. The flight left Surfers Paradise, or the Gold Coast Airport, at 5:30, and we were back in Christchurch at 10:30 the same day. Identity Tours has another package deal going at the moment for the Gold Coast. It is for the Gold Coast Vodafone Supercars 600 kilometres. So it's basically the cars that are operating out of Bathurst at the beginning of October, then travel to Gold Coast and they do 600 kilometre race. We will be staying at the Seacrest Apartments, and we're arriving on the 16th of October and departing on the 23rd of October. Race days are actually on the 19th, the 20th and the 21st, and they're tickets for this event. So that includes your accommodation, your flights and tickets to the event. The Seacrest Apartment complex is actually within the race circuit, so that's why we've included the tickets, because on those 3 days, if you were to leave your apartment block, you're not really able to get back in because you're within the racing circuit. So as I said, the flights are in accommodation included. There is also, and the tickets to the event, barbecue lunch on the rooftop on the race days. And we're looking for 6 people per room. And so the levels are, like I said, we don't like to be too high, so you're sort of at ground level. So what you do is you have, level 4 and 6, and what we also have is the TVs are going while the race is on, so you have the noise, the TVs and the balconies, and we will also, and it's a big event, another big event for the Gold Coast, and the price for that would be $2,300 per person. Give us a call on 0800 196 633 for more details. Just remember, it is sharing, so that is 6 people. So if you can get 6 people together, then you'll know everyone. Otherwise, you'll be making some new friends at the Seacrest Hotel Apartment on the Gold Coast for the Supercars 600. I hope you've enjoyed what we've talked about today. If you have any more questions, just give us a call or go to the Groundwater Country Music Festival on the Gold Coast for more information. There is a lot of information there, and there will be also the up-and-coming dates for next year. But like I said, it happens the last weekend of July. Okay, have a good day, and we'll talk to you all soon. Thank you. So if you like today's show and would like to hear it again, please go to plainsfm.org.nz and download the podcast by searching the DJ Mac Travel Show. Or if you would like more information and would like to talk to someone, maybe myself, then please call us on 0800 196633, and that's at Identity Tours here in Christchurch. Thank you and have a good week.